And now, you're tuned in to RBLR, the home of Tampa Bay's Reveler Sports.
Hello, everyone out there in Tampa Bay and beyond. This is James Knowles coming at you for the RBLR Sports Podcast. I am here tonight to cover the Rowdies, even though I would probably not do that if I had the choice. Yeah. Carlos, what about you? How are you feeling about our own choices today?
You don't have the choice. Was that in the contract that we signed with Eureka?
It's in the contract. We unfortunately, I don't remember what contract you signed. I just know that at this point, Eureka owes me like, I think $3 billion, something like that. Yeah, it's all in back. It's all back tax, he says, and I'll eventually get it.
Yeah, I'm only on here because my lawyers advised me that I actually missed the part about it being punishable by death if I wasn't here.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, Eureka has like some hunters out there. He's got some sicarios on hand, RBLR hitmen. Yeah, it's pretty intense. I hope he's not listening. James and I, neither of us want to be here right now. So make for a great podcast. I'm sure you'll stick around for the whole hour. No, but for real, I mean, at Rowdy's game, not a good time. Other things happened that were pretty fun. I was in DC for the weekend, finalizing a lease on my new apartment. It's gonna be so much fun doing adult things, and my job and whatnot. So new job up in DC. I'm excited to get over there in about a month. At least one more Rowdy's game in me, if this hurricane Fandango doesn't play out.
Right.
But yeah, that's happening too, James. There's a hurricane off the coast, Clearwater coming pretty strong on Thursday. Stay safe out there, folks. Go get your waters and whatnot. I got myself a couple packs of water, bottled water, just in case. You never know. That's happening, James. Keep an eye out on that. We'll see if we play the game on Saturday. I know the Rowdy Stadium has a tendency to get flooded pretty quickly. So that's not a good time. And it's right on the water, so... like Eureka said pre-podcast, who knows if it gets swept away, if it's still there when we pull up on Saturday. So I hope you can play. I want those Rowdies, Brandon Maracas, James. I really do. We're going to talk about that game regardless of whether we're playing it or not, because as of now, we are. So I'm excited to talk about that more so than I am to talk about the Charleston game.
Yes. And
long-winded way of saying the Hurricanes have had their way with us this week in Tampa. USF got blown out by the Miami Hurricanes.
That's right.
That was funny, right?
Yeah, that's a good one.
Thank you. I was kind of crafting that in my head as it came out.
I'm just waiting for your I'm waiting for the prop that you pick for tonight.
I should have grabbed like the big like shutters, the metal shutters I'm putting over our windows. Just pull up with that gigantic piece of metal in here. But yeah, no prop today, James. Georgie Kristoff bobblehead.
Okay.
Will that do?
I mean, that'll do for me.
Yeah, there's news. I mean, Leo Fernandez might break that appearance record this Saturday. So
that's right.
That's mildly relevant. James, how are you doing before we talk about any other Rowdy stuff? What's going on in the world of James Knowles at RBLR James K on Twitter, by the way?
Yes, I am also doing my basic preparation for a hurricane that at this point doesn't look like it will probably affect us too much. But of course, it's too early to say that for sure. So we're going to, just as Carlos did, keep our fingers crossed. Unfortunately, Carlos, we have already lost the chance to keep our fingers crossed for battery. Great segue for me there. This past weekend, the Rowdies lost to Charleston while Nick Markanich actually set a goal scoring record for the battery. Congratulations to him, I guess, but whoop-de-doo in my actual thoughts. Yeah. Our own standings were updated because of this result. So Carlos, you sit on 14. I have sneakily snuck my way up and I am on 13 points ahead of Eureka with 12.
I'm still going to win. I don't really care. Yeah, we could just skip this part. I will say to this point, I might have to start going a little more pessimistic as we come up in the last few games. Maybe I spoil my Louisville result, and say well, maybe I'm going to have to predict a more James-esque result for that one if I am to maintain the lead that I do have, which, as we've pointed out, is quite slim. But still confident nonetheless. It's my title. It's already in my hands, James.
Well, there is some punishment at the end. I'm sure that it is within our contracts. We don't know. Whoever loses ultimately will have to face that. So if you have any suggestions, also you can tweet or reply or whatever, send them to us on whatever podcast platform you use to get at RBLR Sports.
24 hours in downtown Orlando to punish them.
without a change of clothes or
just 24 hours in Orlando, no phone, no wallet. You just have to stay there and exist in that space for 24 hours. I wouldn't put my worst enemy through that. So unfortunately, one of you will have to do that, either you or Eureka, but
well, stay tuned to see how our predictions turn out for the rest of this evening when we go through the preview versus Hartford. As you said, Carlos, we might not actually get to see that game, but we will at least predict for it. That will be our chance tonight when we go through the preview. And I do want to say before we move on, thank you to everyone who joined us for our last watch party of the year, at least provisionally. If that changes, obviously, you will hear about it from both Carlos, myself, and from Eureka on all of the different sources. But it was a good time. We actually went around and had a lively discussion about which problems the Rowdies were having and what was causing our momentary downfall. But yeah, we thank you guys for joining us not only this past Saturday. We thank everyone who joined us, all of our watch parties this year and in the past, and we hope that you can join us again in the future. Like and subscribe to us on YouTube, any major podcast platform, you know the deal. And of course, on social media, whatever you use, we are there at RBLR Sports, and please check us out there too. Carlos, let's move on with the actual game that we have been trying to avoid for all this time. Let's get into the Charleston Battery quick recap.
James, it's a long time ago that we won that home game against Charleston. Remember that one? Remember that game?
Yep. Blast. That was what, 17 years ago or something like that now?
Something like that. 4-2 win against Charleston back in July. Since that game, we've played 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 games and won 2. We're in a bit of a dry spell, to put it lightly. And this game was certainly part of that pretty poor run of form. At the hands of a team I really don't like to lose to. Jordan Farr was in goal. Monjoma was in that back line with Kleeman and Jordan Doherty, which James has started referring to as Jodo in our notes here. So I'm going to start calling him Jodo going forward. Bender, by the way, got the start at what looked like the wingback spot. Correct me if I'm wrong, James. Kind of interesting for him. I thought that really wouldn't be a position we'd ever see him in. But yeah, he seemed to get the start over Nyangabire, who'd gotten several starts in the last few games. Hilton and Nate Worth were between him and Blake Bodley, who's at the left wingback spot. Nate Worth got the start, obviously pretty fun for him. Good for him to continue getting pretty good starts and decent performances most of the season. We got Cal Jennings up top, Emmanuel Arteaga, and Damian Rivera, the New England loney. By the way, another New England loney. I want to mention something about him later on. That was your lineup, James. Pretty interesting. A couple notes there, right? Bender getting the start when Nyangabire. Joshua Perez continuing to kind of come off the bench. Rivera getting another start. A few notes there to keep an eye on that were pretty interesting. A good lineup, certainly, that just didn't really play out well at all. Charleston scored very early before Mark Hanick had multiple chances. Again, Charleston scored, I think, in the fourth minute was that first goal. Very, very early on to put them up 1-0. Mark Hanick would go on to break the record in the 37th minute off of an assist from Eddie Monjoma, who headed the ball right to him. I'm sorry, that was kind of a mean way to put that, but it's what happened.
It is true.
And they came out again better than us in the second half. Mark Hanick got another goal in the 60th minute to continue adding to that record. Again, so that he's at 27 goals. Pretty cool for him. Again, I don't really care, honestly. Hope he does well in Spain, but could have saved those goals for another day. And that's it. Kleeman scored a goal. Oh, that was the other noteworthy thing. Freddie Kleeman got his first professional goal in the manner we all expected him to, Jim. It was a beautiful half volley, just like we expected him to score. Yeah. Not with his head, because who would do that with his size? It was a half volley that put the Rowdies on the board. Certainly by this point, team was deflated. Everybody was kind of over it. I'm ready to go home. But it gave the Rowdies traveling fans something to get a little bit excited about, or at least a goal to cheer while they made that trip. James, it was not a fun one. Certainly not a fun one. Our best shots were Lewis Hilton outside the box kind of rippers, which were nice to see, to be fair. He doesn't take a lot of those, and I wish he took more because clearly there's potential there for a lot of goals. But not conducive of beating a team like Charleston. And that's where we are, James. Standings update. If there was any hope of getting in front of Charleston, which there really wasn't last week, but the players seemed optimistic after that Pittsburgh win. Leo Fernandez was of the you never know attitude going into the Charleston one.
Now we
pretty much do now. There's still 15 points to be played. They're 13 points ahead of us. It would genuinely be like the biggest collapse in like soccer history if we were somehow able to overtake Charleston, which would be pretty funny, to be fair. First place mathematically out of reach now, if that was of any, you know, curiosity to anybody. Louisville City is at 62 points with 28 games played. They actually did lose to Detroit this weekend, but again, doesn't matter anymore. Not that it did before, but again, mathematically out of reach for us, if anybody cared. Charleston Battery, 30 games played, 59 points. That's 13 points ahead of us, who have 29 games played and 46 points. Again, as I said last week, the interesting bits in the playoff race are going to be happening in this middle part of the playoff standings, because Detroit City is now only 1 point behind us, James. 1 point behind us, same games played.
Yep.
This was genuinely not in the realm of possibility for me last month, even in the middle of our pretty bad run. I did not see Detroit kind of sneaking up on us in the way we did, in the way they have. But certainly a big win at home against New Mexico United, who, by the way, is a first-place team in the West just last week. And another big win against the first-place team in the East has Detroit in really, really good form in these last couple games. Keep an eye on them because they are in prime position to overtake us. I would not be surprised if that is the case, unfortunately. Birmingham Legion sneaking up behind them, 41 points from 29 games played, but again, a little bit further back. Keep an eye on the bottom part of the playoff standings, James. Loudoun United, Hartford, North Carolina, Indy, and Rhode Island are all only separated by 4 points for the last three playoff spots. So it's going to be really fascinating to keep an eye on that, because that is a very, very significant amount of teams in that bottom part of the playoff race, separated by only 4 and 5 points if you go down to Hartford and North Carolina, and even Pittsburgh somehow kind of still in the mix from 11th place. The only team that seems really out of it, Miami. Yeah, that would make sense.
Yeah.
But even Pittsburgh from 11th place with 35 points is still in the race, only 2 points behind playoff position technically. Fascinating stuff. Okay, that's the Eastern Conference. I don't really care about the West, James, but if you care, New Mexico is still in first place with 57 points from 29 games played. Colorado Springs have 45 points. They're in an incredible run of form. Remember, they started with like 5 losses in a row at the beginning of the year.
Mm-hmm.
That's very much in the past now. That's a team that was able to turn around incredibly. 45 points from 29 games. They have overtaken Sacramento Republic, who has 44 points with a game in hand of 28 games, and Memphis with 43 points from 29 games played. Okay, I'll admit, some interesting storylines in the West. I don't really care, though. Las Vegas was kind of making their way up, too, by the way. Still holding on. Phoenix trying to make their way back after a couple really strange seasons, despite having a championship in there, by the way.
Yep.
Very, very interesting stuff. Okay, I take it back. I like the West Coast. There's some good names over there. I just convinced myself while I was talking.
Won you over?
Yeah, it won me over very quickly. Aiden Rocha plays over there. I love Aiden Rocha. And Juan Tejada is his teammate. They're so much fun. I hope they're doing well. That's the West Coast, James. Good conference, I guess. They're probably not going to win the league. It's pretty clear that apparently Detroit is even better than New Mexico United. So
right, yeah.
The champion's definitely coming out of the East. We'll have to see who it is. Could be us. It could. But we have some stuff to fix. Let's talk about that, James. Let's jump into it. What do we have to fix, James? Solve the season. Figure it out.
Well, this game obviously did not go the way that we wanted. I'll start by saying that it's overly simplistic, but it is also true, overly true. Yeah, we started in a way, I think that we were a bit more of a 4-2-3-1 kind of deal this past weekend, which, you know, we might as well switch things up in the formation because obviously things are not going the way that we want anywhere else on the field. Should at least try something new. Eddie Manjoma was the right back, and Cal Jennings was the nominal right winger with Ben Bender almost as like a number 10. Cal Jennings, I would say, did not have the best time in that role. I don't think that he was the most effective. And behind him, sad to say, because I have actually talked a lot of positive stuff about this guy over the course of this year. Since we signed him unexpectedly and he became a more regular player unexpectedly, Eddie Manjoma has done well. But this past, I think that he was directly responsible for both of Charleston's first two goals, if not, maybe it was the second and the third. I'm forgetting the order of things. But yeah, obviously he did not have the game that we wanted. And frankly, yeah, though, neither did anybody else around him. Lewis Hilton and Nate Wirth were not effective enough in their role. And if we do a little rewind, cut back about a week ago now to when you and I were recording the preview to the Charleston game, we talked about how the players that are up top for Charleston, obviously they are good enough and they are in such a good vein of form right now that they are going to get shots off. They are going to get good pop shots, even if that's what we actually kept them to and didn't give them any good opportunities. That was out the window pretty early on, not only because they scored early, but they were dominant. Charleston, this is, were dominant from just about the first minute, I would say. I said that to try to maintain a good score line, maintain something where we could possibly get something out of this game, we would have to put pressure on Charleston's back line and Charleston's two midfielders, especially Chris Allen and Jay Chapman, because those are the two players that have been pulling the strings this year. And wouldn't you know it, we didn't do that at all. Jay Chapman was able to find a ton of space in this game. And with that space, he was able to pick out all the passes that he needed to give Nick Markanich and MD Myers very good chances, and they took advantage. It was actually Juan David Torres who took advantage in the first place, but MD Myers set up Nick Markanich for the second goal of the game, which was Markanich's 26th of the year. Yeah, 26th of the year. And then after that, he got his 27th when the game was already well out of hand, and we had no hope of coming back, unfortunately. So, yeah, we did not do the basic things that we needed to do, which, like I said before, was just to put pressure on the other players as opposed to allowing them to create chances for the guys who are in the best form, literally historic USL championship form right now. I saw another stat. I believe it was from John Morrissey, might have been somewhere else, but combined, MD Myers and Nick Markanich are also, in addition to Nick Markanich being the best striker in the history of this league, he and MD Myers formed the best striking partnership in the history of this league. So keep in mind both of those stats, or don't keep them in mind. It really doesn't matter at this point because we're past the game.
Don't care.
There you go.
Georgie Hristov better.
There we go. Better. That's good to point out. But yeah, Jay Chapman obviously had all the time in the world, like I said, and we did not put him under any type of pressure, really. Charleston was able to move us from side to side and then give him the space to put it back right onto the other side that we had just vacated. And Eddie Manjoma was the one who, unfortunately, his header into Nick Markanich's, right into his, I don't know, volley height. It was the perfect assist. Unfortunately, it was for the wrong team, but he was the one who mainly did not benefit from the fact that everybody in front of him had failed to do their jobs defensively. So it was Eddie Manjoma's fault in that sense. It was obviously more than his fault in the sense that we gave up the goal. And I think that Eddie Manjoma has a lot of good qualities to him. I think that he'll be able to turn this around, but it's not just on him. It's going to be on more than just him for us to start winning anything, obviously. He came off before halftime. I don't know if that was an injury thing. I didn't really see that he was possibly injured. It might have just been a tactical thing, and I don't know if Pacific Nyangabire helped us out that much. I would like to say that he did, but I didn't really see that there was too much of a difference in the way that Charleston was able to boss the game after he came on. And obviously Markanić got his second goal, the Battery's third goal of the night after that anyway. So yeah, we never really looked like we were in my opinion. And I don't know. It's just it was a tough night. It was a tough night.
Yeah, like I said, I was keeping an eye on and watching USF Miami, and Green and Gold in general was struggling. It was not fun. So I was getting like when I was watching the USF game, and I wasn't watching the Rowdies game, I was getting bombarded with FOT mob notifications. Charleston goal, Charleston goal, Charleston goal.
Yeah,
and I'm sitting there and I'm like, all right. By the end of the game, I didn't even see the Kleeman goal. I didn't want to watch it anymore. We were down 3-0. But again, congrats to him for scoring that goal, and again the manner in which we all expected. The how tall is he? Let me check this. The 6'4" center back
getting a nice flicked on volley.
Exactly, a nice half volley, just like we thought. His first goal would come. Yeah, so. Whatever. I don't know. Zane Bubb, by the way, came in later on. I thought that was kind of fun. Maybe he's just started. Kid's been playing well when he's come in.
Yeah.
Here's a question for you, James, because I didn't really know what was going on here. Nyangabire comes in for Monjoma in the 44th minute, right? What was the formation that we were running? Where did he get slotted? Because he's not a center back. He's not a right back.
Yeah, no. What was going on there? I think that we switched things up at that point, and I think that that's where we were, at least in the second half, a little bit closer to the three at the back that we've seen. And it looked again to me like Blake Bodily had taken up that role where he was filling in for Aaron Guillen at times. It did change, and I got to admit that my first viewing of the second half was at the watch party where we were all having the aforementioned discussion about all of the problems that are going on with the Rowdies. So I missed it there, but on the replay, it did look like Blake Bodily was mostly filling in that Aaron Guillen role as far as I can remember. But I would not, as I said, when that happened in the past, I wouldn't say that that's his strongest role, but at that point, Charleston had already won the game. I think that they were taking their foot off of the pedal in terms of trying to score more goals and run up the score against us. I think that Nick Markanić was left on long enough that he could try to find a hat trick if he was capable. He ultimately was not. So I guess that's something that we can hang our hat on. We didn't give up three goals to him specifically, even if we did give up three goals. And I think that finding players to fill in either the roles that we had previously is necessary, or we need to find something that's entirely different. And all of the conversation that we had over at Berry House, join us next time. All the conversation that we had there was about different problems that we've seen with the Rowdies. And it's not like anybody was incorrect, but it was also people naming a bunch of different things. So it's kind of, there are a lot of issues going on. I guess that's kind of the best way to put it right now.
Yeah. Another issue. Sorry. I got like a, what's the thing called? Like a ring notification from like my dad's office. It was like, I don't know. Sorry. Run around. This is why I went off screen really quickly. I'm like, hey, you should probably check your phone. I think someone's trying to break into your office, but
that would not be good.
Yeah. So that's also going on right now. It's a chaotic evening, James, in the Carlos household.
Yeah.
On that note, though, you know what else isn't going right? Actually, I have no transition. I was trying to think of something to say. The point is, James, you know, I don't really know what else to say. I feel like we've kind of run out of talking points on like what we think could be happening. I'm sure it was a great discussion at Berry House with award-winning beer, by the way. And I'm sure it'll be a great time when we inevitably play on the road in the playoffs. When we do, who knows, maybe another watch party. where you should be on this award winning beer. Yeah, I have no more talking points. I'm out. Like I really am. I'm curious about kind of the thought process behind this formation, you know, with Bender kind of out there in that whatever he was doing, Kyle Jennings in that wing role, like you were saying. There's, like you said, kind of like an awkward 20 minutes of when Young Gabiri came in and the formation was kind of wacky and Bodley was back there and who was on the left side and Rivera. There's a lot of movement, which is good. Like, it's good to have a team that's that mobile. That's a, what's the word? Not mobile, like adaptable, right? Mm-hmm. Good to have a team that can have a lot of guys that can be in different roles, bunch of utility guys. They also don't want everybody to be a utility guy, right?
Right.
You want people to be really good at the positions they're in and you want them to kill it. Right. And that just hasn't really been the case. I mean, these are really good players, James. This roster, I still believe, is on paper, I think, still better than Charleston's roster. The starting 11, you compare them, like, you know, player for player. Obviously, the form they're in is different. But if you just looked at this team before the beginning of the season, you look at the Rowdies roster and Charleston roster, I'm still taking the Rowdies roster just based on the players on there. It's up there with the Louisville roster, like, but Charleston is just playing so incredibly well. And we didn't know the type of form this kid Markanik would be in, by the way, which is obviously, you know, a totally different modifier here. So he single-handedly is a game changer. So obviously whatever team has this kid is going to be in a great position to win. And on top of that, like you said, MD Myers has been playing incredibly well. The unspoken hero of this team is Juan Torres, who's been having an incredible season as well behind MD Myers and Markanik. So you're talking about a front three that is all three people, like, very incredibly impressive, supported by an Arturo Rodriguez. Very, very, very informed team. That's the only way you can put it. They're very good. And this is honestly my favorite to win the league right now, the playoffs and everything. I think they're playing better than Louisville. I think Louisville probably has a better team, but this team, as it is right now, would run over Louisville.
Right. I think that that's probably a good shout.
Yeah. So that, all that being said, maybe I should have predicted a loss because I don't know what I was thinking. It's just frustrating because, you know, like I said, the talent on this roster is very good, and it's just frustrating not to see him even really compete with Charleston. It was a bloodbath for Charleston. I think our one goal is kind of unfair to how the actual game went. The game was more indicative of a 3-0 win than a 3-1 win. Fought Mob says we didn't create any big chances for whatever that's worth. We were outshot heavily by Charleston. They held on to the ball more than us. Like, it was just, there was no point when we were really like, oh, okay, now we can do it. Because the air was taken out of that Rowdy squad 4 minutes into the game.
Yep.
And you can see Jordan Farr slamming his fists repeatedly into his legs. Like, he's pissed off. Like, that's the attitude of the team right now. I'm more than sure. And I know, and you know, I'm randomly concerned for Leo Fernandez because I really want him to have like a memorable record breaking night on Saturday pending the hurricane. And he's the type of guy that wouldn't enjoy it at all, obviously, if we lose, if we're still in this form. He wants to turn things around. That's the attitude of the whole team right now. And it was kind of just like, I don't know what the right word for it is. But I don't know. I don't really know how to describe it. But seeing like Jordan Farr, like, kind of, you know, slam his arms over and over again into his legs, how pissed off he was. It was like, man, like, you could tell the team's angry. You know, it's not like, obviously nobody wants to lose, but you could tell like these guys know they're not playing well.
Right.
And I'm sure that's pretty demoralizing.
Yeah.
So that sucks. I don't really have much to say. I mean, I Eddie Manjoma, like, had not a great game, like we talked about. I don't know where he was looking on that first goal. Juan Torres was so wide open. It was crazy. With a great finish. Again, this kid, not kid, this guy is very, very good at soccer.
Right.
He's very good at soccer, and he goes under the radar because Charleston has MD Myers and Markanik. He scored a wonder goal against us. Remember when we played him at home? Guy's good. Manjoma, I don't know what he was looking at, where he was thinking, where his head was at. Kyle Jennings' best opportunity of the game was a shot that went like wide left 7 minutes into the game. on a ball that just randomly deflected and put him in front of goal from a pretty tight angle, to be fair. But he didn't even get it on target. Like, this was – it just wasn't great all around. Again, our best opportunities other than the Kleiman wonder goal half volley was like two or three different Lewis Hilton shots from long range. And again, good to see. Like, I like seeing that as a fan. I want Lewis Hilton to kind of rip some of those shots, but clearly those aren't going to win you the games against Charleston, against Louisville. Hell, at this point, against Detroit City, right?
Yeah.
I mean, I could save my like thoughts about the playoffs for a little bit from, you know, maybe a little later on, but yeah, this is it's not good, James. I mean, genuinely, like, we're struggling against these really great teams, but we're also struggling against the teams that are still slightly below us in the table, right? We got pretty embarrassed by Birmingham, which is two spots behind us. Detroit has put up pretty great games against us at this point. Who else? Indy 11, we actually won against away. I don't know how that happened. And the teams coming up behind them are in pretty good form. So, you know, I don't really know how that first round of the playoffs is going to look right now. Still a few games to kind of figure it out, but I don't know like what else you can do at this point. You can't go out and like sign some wonder kid right now. Yeah,
we certainly can't.
Like, this is basically what you got to work with.
Yeah.
And apparently we can just kind of go get people on loan randomly. I didn't know you could still do that like this late in the year, because we got Bender somehow. So apparently we can just do that. But I don't know. It's kind of frustrating. Well, it's very frustrating. Like, I feel like a Charlie Dennis is kind of missed right now, you know? That kind of guy in the middle. Who else? I mean, we can talk about plenty of players that are not here right now, obviously, but that's just the one that came in my head right now. Kind of like the fire, that talent that he brings, would be a nice jolt, but I don't know. It's kind of demoralizing, you know. It's kind of I'm at a point, like last weekend, I was genuinely like way more excited about the USF game, obviously, against UM than I was about the Rowdies game. And I was like, okay, I'll put the Rowdies game on too. Like, that being said, anything can happen in the playoffs. Maybe I'm looking too far ahead. Maybe we should finish wrapping up our discussion about this game against Charleston first. But Charleston is still Charleston, and they're very good. And I think they're going to win the league, right? Or at least the tournament, you know, the league, whatever. Separate things, depending on how you look at it.
Right.
I think they're going to the USL, is what I'm trying to say. So I'm not surprised we lost. Maybe our chances aren't the best to actually win the whole thing, but we should still be, obviously, banking on a good run in the playoffs. And not a first round exit. And I think that's still very likely. I think it's still likely. Beating the bigger teams, more unlikely, but who knows? That's the beauty of soccer, James. Who knows? Again, where talent is incredible, our talent's incredible. Like, we could do it, but we don't have much time to figure it out anymore.
No.
And that's the concerning part, because this is something we've said repeatedly in the last like couple months. Like, there's still time to figure it out. But like, now we're at a point where it's like, is there really? I don't know. Not really, is my point. So, James, I don't know. Bad game. Needed a little bit more from some of these guys individually. But overall, just nothing really there. Nothing. So, feel for the Rowdies fans that traveled. I know they have a good time in Charleston regardless. So, I'm sure they don't mind. I'm sure they had a great time. But I'm sure they would have enjoyed a win much more. Anything else on this game, James? Is there anything specific about the goals you want to mention? Because I think I got my little note I wanted to make about Majoma on that first goal. And the second goal. Like, that was kind of insane. I don't know what he was thinking. And MD Myers just kind of stood there and headed it into the middle of the box for Mark Hanick, to get his record breaking goal. What happened on that third goal? Oh yeah, I forgot Doherty got cooked on the third goal, like way cooked. Like, I don't even know what happened. Doherty's a very good player. That's very uncharacteristic of him. He got worked by that Charleston player. And then another easy goal for Mark Hanick. Jordan Farr didn't have much of a chance. He didn't even dive for it. Like, there's nothing there. Okay. Yeah. Those were all the Charleston goals. Do you want to say anything about the Kleiman goal? Was there anything of note there? or other, like, I don't know. It was off of a corner, but then it wasn't off of a corner.
Right.
Yeah.
I did like his finish, obviously. It was weirdly strong, something that you have noted a couple of times. But just to return to what you were saying really fast, there isn't a lot of, you mentioned how there is not a lot of time for us to figure it out, quote unquote. And a lot of good teams will find their stride right before the playoffs and then suddenly pick it up. And as they go through the playoffs, they catch fire at the right time is the common phrase. And then they go on and win the whole thing. Please think of, let's say Orange County in 2021.
We don't have to think about them. You really didn't have to bring that up,
but they are a good example. They caught fire and they went through, and unfortunately they did what we did not want them to do, but we don't have the time to catch fire at this point. Next Tuesday is October, which is honestly shocking to me. But that means that the playoffs are almost here. The spots for the playoffs are also almost set. The fact that we are so close to the teams behind us now, that's a pretty bad sign actually, but it is so close to where we are supposed to be firing on all cylinders. There are teams who are firing on all cylinders. I can think of 1, 2, 3, 4.
Shout them out.
I was going to say Louisville, Charleston. Now our upcoming opponent, Hartford. I would probably also include in that New Mexico and maybe one or two other teams out west, like Oakland or Las Vegas, are doing relatively well. I don't know if they're totally on fire the same way, but yeah, we're running out of the ability to turn this around in a timely manner.
I'm throwing Detroit into that. Detroit's in that mix as well.
That's like, actually a very good shout. They just obviously beat Louisville, so leaving them out is probably not the best idea.
Detroit, just again, I mentioned them earlier. They beat New Mexico, top team in the West, for whatever that's worth, and Louisville. Both games, I don't know if this is. I mean, I think it's important. Both games were at home, and Detroit is not in a position to go away to, or Detroit is not in a position to host either Louisville or New Mexico, given their spot on the table. So maybe that's a different result if they go to New Mexico and Louisville. I certainly think it's a different result if they go to Louisville. I think Louisville is a much better team, and they almost certainly beat them in Louisville.
Yeah.
But they still beat them at home, and they're very good. So they're full of confidence right now. It's a team that is in position-ish to get a – yeah, they're in a position to get a home game. I'm glad they moved up the table slightly, so it's not a team that we would see in the first round, hypothetically, because I thought that would be the case earlier this season. It looked like we'd get Rowdy's Detroit in that first round of the playoffs, and that was not a promising game for us. So hopefully we have a softy to open up the playoff part of the year. Yeah. Maybe it gives us an extra game to catch fire, like you said. So it could happen. This is much better team roster wise than whoever was on the Orange County team in 2021. What's that one guy, the striker, the one that was really good,
Ronaldo Damas.
Yeah, was it him? I'm thinking about was Ilosky on that team, or was he later on?
It wasn't the Ilosky that scored a bunch of goals and then moved to Denmark.
Okay, different. Okay, whatever. Point being, this
Rowdy. There are multiple of the Ilosky's though.
Are there really?
Yeah.
Wow, that's confusing. Yeah, so this roster much better than, you know, that Orange County roster. So if they could do it, why not us, is my point.
Okay.
It's a beauty of sports, James. Anything can kind of happen. And soccer is one of the sports that I feel like is pretty prone to upsets just because it's such low scoring, such a low scoring affair. Yeah. So I don't know. Whatever. I can keep ranting about what our postseason will look like. I think we can save that for after whatever our last game of the regular season is. So I don't know. I'll shut up.
That'll be a good time for it because we will know at that point who we're playing, but we might have some time to cover it before we actually have to do the preview. Yeah. Either way, that leaves us with one more thing to cover for this game. Carlos, that is our man of the match. I think that we picked the same person, so I'll just let you say who it was because there was really no other option.
What if I say the first name, you say his last name?
Okay, there we go.
All right, Josh.
Perez.
That's him. That man of the match, Josh Perez. He got an assist, and he's pretty good at soccer. that's about all. I mean, he made an impact. Like, he made an impact coming off the bench. Again, I mentioned him when we were talking about the lineup, because he wasn't in the starting lineup. Despite getting lots of starts throughout most of the year, in the last few games, we've seen him kind of coming off the bench. Damian Rivera has gotten a couple starts. A couple other players getting in. Like, long story short, Joshua Perez has been coming off the bench. Doesn't seem to mind it too much. I don't know. I haven't asked him. And he's still putting in good performances despite that. So I think that's pretty admirable. It's kind of tough to get, like, yanked off the starting lineup like that. But he's still doing well. So good for him. Congrats on the assist. Like, it was a good ball. It was actually a really good ball. Good game. I don't know. We lost 3-1. I don't really know what else to say. It's not your fault, Josh, if you're listening to this. You had a great game. That's why we're shouting you out. I love you. That's it, James. Whatever. More importantly, James, speaking of goals, we have some of those.
Oh, okay.
Buy our merch. That was a bad train. I don't know. I really got to work on this. You'd think at this point in the year, I'd have some of these transitions down. Shop.rblrsports.com, James. That's where you should go, because liking and subscribing is free. But if you need some new threads and you want to support this podcast just a little bit more, go over to shop.rblrsports.com. Check out all the cool designs that have been cooked up over there. The link is in the description of this podcast, and use promo code COYR. That's COYR for 10% off, James. Some cool stuff in there. Again, not just Rowdy stuff. There's Lightning stuff, Bucks stuff, Rays stuff, Sun stuff. I don't know. I know the Rays, like, weren't in great position to make the playoffs, but if for whatever reason they do, now's a good time to buy merch. Bucks season just started. Buy some merch. Lightning are underway in just a little bit here. Buy some merch. And the Sun, full swing, by the way. Go get some Sun merch as well. Shop.rblrsports.com. COYR for 10% off. James, we may or may not play a game on Saturday. Really is up to the whims of what my Incan ancestors referred to as Pachamama, Mother Earth. We'll see what she's got in store for us on Thursday.
Good callback from Carlos.
Yeah, if she's merciful, if Pachamama is merciful to us, Leo Fernandez could break the record on Saturday. At 7:30, when we host none other than Hartford Athletic, a team, James, which you have said is in fantastic form, if I'm not mistaken.
Mm-hmm.
They're in ninth place. They're just out of the playoff spots on goal differential. So they're desperately going to need a win here. The Rowdies certainly have stuff to play for now, only being 1 point ahead of Detroit. So expect this one to be a really good one, I think.
Or a nail biter.
Yeah, for us, a nail biter. For the casual fan, this would be one to tune in to.
Yes. Definitely. Yeah.
This was going to be a fun one for the casual fan. Hartford is in pretty good run of form, like we said. They're currently on a 7-game unbeaten run, and they've won their last two against Miami FC. Whoop-de-doo. They won 3-0. More importantly, against Oakland Roots, a pretty decent team out west, they beat them 2-0.
Yeah.
So they're in pretty good run of form. Good players on that roster that have kind of been figuring things out after a pretty shaky, a very shaky start to the year, very shaky part of the middle of the year. They've had a bad season, really, by all accounts. And literally in these last seven games, have crawled their way back into
Exactly.
So this is a very, very recent thing. When we say they're in a recent run of form, we're talking about literally the last 7 games, because they otherwise had a very terrible season without this last part of the year. So good for them, I guess. It'll make for an interesting game, like I said. And again, keep an eye on that bottom part of the playoff spots in the East, because like I've mentioned multiple times now, it's literally just 2 points separating the 8th place team from the 11th place team. That's incredible. There's a lot of movement to be made down there.
Yes.
So that's going to be really fun to keep an eye on. Genuinely, a lot of fun. Be watching a lot of soccer in the last part of the year here. Lineup looks pretty typical for them. Renan Ribeiro in net behind Michael DeShields, Jordan Scarlett, former Rowdy, Joe Farrell and Tristan Hodge. Beverly McAngila and Marlon Hairston should be up as the central midfielders behind Danny Barrera, Marcus Epps, USF legend, and Emmanuel Samadia. Up top, we could see Mamadou Dieng. Michy Engelina has been out for 3 games. James, is that a pretty big loss for them?
Generally, Michy Engelina being present is a huge win for them. So I would say that the opposite is also true.
There you go. There you go. Some logic there. My logic professors from freshman year would be very pleased with that. Oh my God, there's a term for that, but like the inverse statement. I don't know. That class has been a long time ago. Okay. Dieng has 9 goals on the year, while Engelina, that makes sense. He has 8. So again, a pretty big loss, as James said, for Hartford not to have this guy here. Samadia and Galena Epps are all the chance creators, but not a ton of assistance for this Hartford team. So all that being said, you look at their roster, you look at their overall year. This should be a pretty winnable game. We're playing at home in the humidity. Hell, we could be playing underwater. Who knows?
Do you think that would help or hurt us?
I think that would hurt us, though. I'm not going to lie, James. I think it'll even the playing field out a little bit. I've never thought about how underwater soccer would look. But there's been some games where I think, man, like this actually feels like under. What was the Christian Ortiz game, right, in the D23 tournament?
Yep. The first half of that, you could not see the field.
that game was played underwater for all, you know, intents and purposes. So not unprecedented, I guess, for.
So if we do have the Hurricane, Christian Ortiz starts, is what you're saying.
Yeah, he's got the most experience in underwater soccer, so he could definitely get a goal in this one. James, all that being said, winnable game. I do hope we play it. It's Hispanic Heritage Night. They said that the Hispanic Rowdies players and staff curated the playlist for the night, which I think we should be including like Bad Bunny and various other Hispanic artists regularly, but I'll take that up with Ryan Sudol. So I'm excited for the ambiance we got going on pregame, the $5 seltzers, the tequila seltzers we got going on pregame. Shout out Mexico for giving us tequila. What else? Oh, of course, how could I forget, James? The Rowdies branded maracas to the first 2,000 fans through the gates. That I cannot get over how crazy a giveaway that is, by the way, for Hispanic Heritage Month. That's it's like a little too on the nose, but I'm still all for it. Like, are you kidding me? A Rowdy's branded maraca. I will be there no matter what. Even if there is a hurricane, I will go and find wherever those maracas are. James, maracas out of the question. How do you think this game goes, assuming it happens, assuming Hurricane Helene drifts out west a little bit more?
Yes, I wanted to talk about how Hartford will focus on playing through their wingers, and that is true. But I actually read through John Morrissey and his Substack, which everyone should also subscribe to, that there is a bit more nuance than just they're going to look to play through their wingers. So I might as well read this for you guys. It is perfect the way it is written, and I cannot make it any better. From John Morrissey, since mid-August, the onset of that streak, Hartford has the 7th best expected goals in the USL. They've earned the 2nd most points behind only New Mexico United. Hartford has put up nearly 13 XG expected goals and allowed just 3 actual goals. Both numbers are top 3 marks. Burke has this team playing like a genuine contender, not just a doomed also ran. The system hasn't changed all that much. Even as Hartford has improved, this club still runs a 4-2-3-1, still relies on their wingers to spearhead the attack, and hasn't really altered their passing profile. What has changed is the cohesion of their midfield and the rise of Mamadou Dieng. So Mamadou Dieng is their striker right now. He actually started filling in for the striker position when they got rid of Romario Williams, sold him to Indy 11 because he wasn't doing that well. And since then, he's honestly just gone on a tear, and he's doing very, very well. He is somebody that we are going to have to keep an eye on as fans, I guess, but the Rowdies players are going to be the ones that have to actually keep an eye on him and try to prevent him from scoring. He creates space for the rest of his teammates to be able to play the ball around and, you know, draw the opposition here and there and everywhere so that they can put themselves in better positions to score. So that is what we're going to have to keep an eye out on, Mr. Jang. In the meantime, though, I still think this is a winnable game. I still think that if he is the main point of their attack, or not the main point, but the main benefactor of all of their attacks, then we should be able to hopefully rein him in. And I'm going to give us a 2-0 win in this one because I still think that we should be able to handle it. But as we've seen, there are a lot of caveats recently. So hopefully that is not incorrect.
Would it be lame if I also take a 2-0 win? Would that be kind of lame?
It would not be lame, but you might be risking some points for yourself if they get, obviously, something else. And then I could be right up next to you.
I would also be guaranteeing my lead. Well, is that kind of a strike? If I just copy your prediction for the rest of the year, I win, right? That's how that works. Unless Eureka overtakes us.
Well, at some point, I'm going to have you guess first then.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, I feel like that would be unfair. No, I actually was thinking 2-0, to be fair. But I'm going to switch it up just for the sake of not predicting the same thing. I'll say we win 1-0. Because I could see that happening too. We're not in great form, but I think we still shut out this team. Did we say Eureka's prediction? Have we said that yet?
Eureka, no, I don't think we did. He said Eureka, a 3-1 win.
Eureka's predicting a 3-1 win. Again, that was my other like prediction in mind. So all three predictions here, 1-0 win, 2-0 win, 3-1 win, I think are all like it will be one of these. Absolutely. It will absolutely be one of these. So someone is going to make a pretty big jump in the standings because one of these scores will be correct. We're gonna win. And Hartford will lose. Logic 101, James. We were just talking about it. That's how that works. So I don't know. We will see how it goes. I am pretty confident. I also think it's pretty funny that Ramari Williams is on a tear right now for Indy. That was a guy, by the way. I remember in the offseason he was free agent. I was telling us like, hey, like get him on the Rowdies. The guy's just consistent. Like he really is. So maybe just needed a bit of a switch up, get out of Hartford to kind of find that form again. And it seems like he has. Good for him. I actually really like him as a player. Really fun to watch. But he's not on this team anymore. And who did we just say is out? Mitchie Molina's out. It's going to be a really good game though. So we're going to win. This could be a barn burner too, by the way. It could be like an insane one. Like it'd be like 3-2 or like 4-3, like 3-2, but that's all. I'm going to still compare to the 1-0 win. It's just going to be intense because Hartford's going to come out and I don't think there'll be a team that sits back or anything.
No,
it'll be pretty open. Still 1-0 win. That's what I'm going to go with. James, anything else on this game?
Nope. We have covered it. We are prepared.
Yeah. I did ask Eureka pre-pod going on. I don't know. I'm so tired. Before we started the podcast, if I could predict like game postponed as my result and like see if that counts. But I can't risk it. If everybody else is predicting wins, I'm going to go with a 1-0 win. But I don't think it's a bad prediction based on the spaghetti models and News Channel 8. Okay. Anything else here? We're good?
We're good.
Shout out Hartford, Connecticut. It's a place. I don't know. I haven't heard. You know, I've literally like never heard of anything going on in Hartford, Connecticut. Like, what goes on over there?
I don't know.
I don't even know. I couldn't tell you a single thing about Hartford, Connecticut. I was literally thinking about this the other day. I was like, would I ever go on a road trip for a Rowdies game in Hartford, Connecticut? Probably.
I'd probably wait for Rhode Island.
Yeah. I genuinely don't know what goes on over there. What a weird place. Okay. James, speaking of my transition games week today, extra time. There's a hurricane and that's happening. We're going to get rain regardless of whether it steers left or right. We're certainly going to get a lot of rain. Stay safe out there. Get your water, get your basic preparations ready. You know, follow the evacuation orders, yada, yada. We've been through this before, James, a million times. We're very much kind of in the rhythm at this point as Floridians. So I think it's good to, you know, just reiterate to everybody with what little voice I have over the general public to follow your evacuation orders and stay safe out there. I hope we get to see all of you on Saturday and that the game is played. But if it's not, we will see each other very soon. And again, hope it's Saturday. I did want to mention one more thing, James, that I saw very briefly on Twitter about this Ryan Spalding bit. Do you see this? We were talking about this a little before we started recording. Mm-hmm. This is just really fascinating. I didn't really know where to put this in. We could have mentioned it like earlier on when we were talking about the lineup and we're talking about New England stuff. But it seems like extra time is just kind of the most appropriate place for it, right?
That's fair.
Yeah. This is according to a New England Revolution reporter. Just interesting tidbit here. Caleb Pongratz 10 on Twitter. It's at Caleb Pongratz with the Z at the end. 10. He was tweeted out a couple hours ago that Ryan Spalding trained with the New England Revolution 2 today. As in like the B team mm-hmm. of New England Revolution, not like New England Revolution as well. New England Revolution 2, the number. He hasn't made an appearance for New England Revolution, the senior team, since July 17th. Again, he was sent out on loan to us back in August. He was recalled less than a month later after just a few games with us, after we expected him to stick around the whole season, at least. He was recalled for nothing, it seems. Very frustrating. It seems like he's pretty frustrated. I can't imagine he's enjoying playing for New England Revolution 2 over the Rowdies. I just wanted to mention this because it seems really pointless. This guy, Caleb, also mentioned that on August 19th, when he reported that Spalding was initially going to be sent out on loan, he was going to be loaned and trained full time with New England Revolution 2. However, Spalding declined back then and chose to go on loan to the Tampa Bay Rowdies. So it doesn't even seem like something that Spalding initially wanted to prefer a loan to Rowdies, who wouldn't want to be down here in Tampa Bay. Gets recalled and gets immediately sent out to train and play with New England Revolution 2. Yeah. That's insane. I like genuinely clueless of this club. I don't know what the hell they were thinking. Makes no sense to me. I'm not a sporting executive, but I just don't see how that makes any sense. And it's really frustrating because that's a guy that, you know, has enough talent to influence a game. And we certainly need someone like that for the playoffs. So yeah, throw that out there. Check out his tweet. You could see what he was saying, like word for word, at Caleb, CalebPongratz 10 on Twitter. Really interesting stuff over there. I genuinely am kind of like at a loss for what the thought process was there. I know they're terrible. I know everybody is kind of, you know, not happy with them over there. Like just based on Twitter replies, it seems like the fans just kind of admit that New England Revolution doesn't make any sense. But this is just as particularly frustrating because more importantly than affecting New England Revolution, I frankly don't really care what happens to New England Revolution.
Not really.
I care about what happens to my Tampa Bay Rowdies.
Yeah.
I care about a player who wore our shirt and played it in it very well and seems to care about the team a lot. I care about, you know, his career and how it goes for him. And again, we're not really journalists. We're fans and first, right?
Or fernalists.
That's a word. We're fernalists, sure. So it's frustrating, just on a personal fan level for me to see how Ryan Spalding is kind of treated right now. And especially how much we would miss him on a team that desperately needs all the talent it can get, all the form it can get going to the playoffs. Again, check out his tweet. It's interesting. You get more insight from him and some insight on how poorly run the organization is in New England. Shout out Robert Kraft, I guess. Whatever. Yeah. What a weird team. I don't know why they consistently continue to play in what's the name of the stadium over there? The football stadium, Gillette Stadium?
Yeah. Like, I was going to say Foxborough. That's the city.
Yeah. The attendance sucks. It's like one of the worst run teams. Like, I don't know. Whatever. It's frustrating, but something I throw in here to think, James, because interesting note, I'll throw on Twitter. Anything I mentioned on that? Any comments from James Knowles on this before I'm just kind of ranting about it myself?
I mean, I'm similarly unhappy with the way that things played out, obviously. It seemed to me and all the world that could be involved, that Ryan Spalding enjoyed being here. And I'm certain that he would prefer to play for a first team first team squad than a reserve team. I can say at least that much.
He looked so happy in that press conference when I saw him after his first home game with the Rowdies. He looked so happy. He was so thrilled about playing with Damian Rivera, like down here, a guy who he knows well from New England. They've played each other with each other for most of their careers. And they were so happy to like be down. Like, it was just, there was no need to like ruin something that was going well for both of them. Or for New England. Like, he gets minutes down here. He's going to play a lot down here against good competition, not against MLS Next Pro. Like, this is insane. It genuinely is insane to me. But whatever. My inside sources, i.e. my girlfriend, who knows more about MLS than I do because she's like big FC Cincinnati fan, says New England's like the worst run organization MLS, and it's like apparently widely known. So if I'm wrong, you can give her crap for it. But whatever. Annoying, but it is what it is, James.
Yeah, that is true. Well, with that, though, we will be closing out the podcast and lamenting the fact that Ryan Spalding is still not in green and gold. Thank you, fans, for tuning in. Hopefully, we can get him back in the future. But either way, if you want to hear more information about the Tampa Bay Rowdies, including when or if Ryan Spalding comes back, please follow RBLR Sports on Instagram, Twitter, TikTok, Facebook, Threads, wherever else you are on the internet. We are probably there too. I am mostly on Twitter. If you'd like to get at me, I am at RBLR James K, and you can request or you can send me whatever suggestions you have for the loser of our RBLR Sports poll. So Carlos Eureka and I are currently trying to determine who is the worst at predicting results.
We are on a Miami FC-esque run of form in terms of predicting results. Well, you and Eureka, I am more on a Louisville type of run in terms of predicting results as the first place inevitable champion. That I am.
First place by 1 point, everybody. Just keep that in mind.
1 point in this prediction score is like 12 points.
That's actually true.
Like, it's inflation or whatever.
It's obviously been very hard for any of us to make that up.
Yeah, it's like the currency exchange, James. It's from prediction points to USL points is a lot. So, I'm at Carlos CPA10 on Twitter. Follow me. We can talk about the Hurricane or USL football or Georgetown basketball. I don't know. We started watching like Australian football highlights on YouTube. That's pretty fun. They got a circle field. It's kind of crazy. I don't know. Talk to me about that too. At Carlos CPA10 on Twitter.
There you go. And of course, please join us wherever you are, either via podcast or on YouTube. That's where you can see us talk about it, not just hear us. You can see all of Carlos's props, including a bobblehead this week. But please,
signed Georgi Hristov bobblehead,
by the way, just so you know. But either way, wherever you go, please join us and subscribe while you're there. For another week with a bad result, and hopefully a better one coming up. Barring a hurricane, come on, your Rowdies.
Stay safe.
Thank you for tuning into this presentation by RBLR Sports. On your way out of the stadium, please remember to like and subscribe.